2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And Sister Barbara Gardner gave me this Bible some time ago, March 3rd, 2011. I still got it. Amen. I like this translation. One day, David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodabar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Machir, the son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And when he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own son. Amen. Time to praise. You remember the story of David. Now, David was a shepherd boy. He was a young man out minding his father-in-law's sheep. And while out there, the Lord called him to go and minister to Saul, who was king. And he was requested to come because Saul was depressed, and David was a wonderful musician because he had time to practice out on the fields. And he came and he ministered to Saul, and Saul was refreshed. How many of you know music can refresh you? And the Lord saw something in David also. There was a calling on David's life. And David was anointed to be the second king of Israel. Saul was a king, but Saul had messed up, and God had called someone else, called David to be the next king. And sometimes, how many of you know, sometimes when you get your calling, you think you get your church the next week. David was anointed to be the next king, but between the anointing and the practice was years. And in the meantime, Saul, who was the setting king, tried to kill David time and time again. It's a difficult thing when the Lord takes the anointing away from you and tells you while you're still alive, I got somebody else to replace you. Never think that God don't have somebody else. So David, this young man, and during the time when God had called David, and David is anointed, but he had not yet been able to mount the throne yet, he becomes friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. They're good friends. How many of you remember one of your good friends when you were a teenager? I mean, you guys were close and you made promises. Listen, when I get to be whatever, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And that was the way it was with Jonathan and David. They were friends. They were buddies. And they made these promises to one another. And now, finally, after David has become king, he has been at war with the Philistines and the Amorites, and he has won, and he has killed, and he is at peace now. And he's sitting on his porch, or he's sitting wherever he's sitting, and he's remembering the promises that he made to his friend Jonathan. How many of you know every now and then it's good just to reflect? Just sit down, be still, and remember about yesterday, some of the promises we made on yesterday. And David is there. He's reflecting on the conversation that he has had with his good friend, Jonathan. He promised Jonathan that when I finally get to be king, when I get into my kingdom, I'm going to remember your family. I'm going to take care of your family. And now he's at peace, and he's killed so many people, and he is at peace. He's at peace with the Philistines and others. And he calls Ziba. He says, is there anybody left in the family of Saul that I can show kindness to? Back in the day, whenever one king, the one regime was going out after the Saul regime, the new king killed everybody in the family. You know, the new king comes in, and the first order of business is to kill all of the folk in the old king's family. Kill the brothers, the sons, everybody. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I wasn't in that family. So, finally, David is king, and he says, is there anybody left in Saul's family? And somebody said, yes. Ziba says, yes, there's one person down in Lodabar. His name is Mephibosheth. He is the son of Jonathan. He is the son of your good friend. You remember Jonathan. He is down in Lodabar, and he is crippled in both feet. Now, I don't know why in the world it was important to tell the king that he's crippled. Why not just say, yeah, Jonathan's got a son. His name is Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodabar, but he made the point that he's a cripple. And in my mind, sometimes people discount people because of their pain. That somehow, just because you got a disability, you're not quite as good. That your value is not quite as much as somebody with no disability. Look at somebody and say, we're all just temporarily able. You might be doing fine right now, but you can get a broke toe. And how many of you know a broke toe will slow you down? You can't wear your heels. You can't shout the way you used to. I don't know why it was so important for Ziba to say he's got a son. He's down in Lodabar. His name is Mephibosheth, and he's got two broke feet. You remember, if you Bible scholars, you remember how he developed these broke feet, because his grandfather got killed on the same day that his father got killed, and then the Philistines were coming in to take over, and the maid went and grabbed Mephibosheth and ran out the door trying to save his life and dropped him and broke both of his feet. And the fact of the matter is, once you were handicapped back in those days, you were good for nothing, particularly if you were a male, because you couldn't farm and you couldn't fight. Now, I also noticed that he couldn't farm and he couldn't fight, but the text also said he did have a son. That didn't, it broke legs, didn't stop him. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm reading the text. I ain't making this up. It's right there. So David sends for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is down there in Lodabar, lonely and isolated. And this he developed these broke feet when he was 5 years old. And now he's approximately 20 years old. And he's been down there in Lodabar for the last 15 years. And can you imagine, he's a young man with a son, and he gets a word that the king is looking for you. He probably thinks that the king is getting ready to kill him. He's been hiding now for 15 years, and he finally found out where I am. But he sends for him, and Mephibosheth comes. Mephibosheth comes into the presence of David, and David puts him at ease right away. He says, "Don't be afraid." And many of us can relate to Mephibosheth. We've been dropped. Some have been dropped by a man. Some have been dropped by a woman. Some have been dropped by life. How many of you know one day in life can change everything? You can be doing fine, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, life happens, and you're dropped, and you're in Lodabar, all way down yonder by yourself, lonely and miserable, and it's no fault of your own. Mephibosheth, it was not his fault that he had two broke feet. It's not his fault that his grandfather died on the same day that his father died. It was not his fault that he had to run to survive. It was not his fault that he was down there necessarily in Lodabar. And sometimes you can be in Lodabar so long that it messes with your spirit. He comes before the king and he says, "Well, why would you have mercy on an old dog like me?" That he's got it in his spirit that he's of no good. You can be in Lodabar in the church. You could be getting your praise on, and you know you're in Lodabar because your mind is messed up. The people right now in church, it's not your fault because you were abused as a child. It's not your fault because somebody raped you. It's not your fault because somebody betrayed you. It's not your fault because somebody hurt you and you got it in your spirit that you are no good. But thanks be to God, God will send an APB out on you and find you down in Lodabar and call you to the table. Come out of Lodabar. You've been down there long enough. You've been down there in misery longer. Come out of Lodabar. By the way, you're preaching, Jackson. Go ahead. So, Mephibosheth is in Lodabar, and David sends for him, and he's in Lodabar, not because of anything he's done. He invites him to the table. He says, "From now on, I'm going to give you everything that your grandfather, all the land that Saul had, I'm going to give it to you. Not only am I going to give it to you, but you shall eat at my table. From now on, you don't have to, you don't have to eat them crumbs." Lodabar was a dry, barren place. no pasture. The text says, the translation of Lodabar means no pasture, no fertile ground, no green, just a dry place. And God calls him to Jerusalem and tells him, from now on, you're going to eat at my table. Can you imagine? I bet you, old Mephibosheth didn't even know how to hold a fork. You ever been to somebody who got invited to a fancy dinner? Let me just be real. I mean, I've been to places that have so many forks, I asked Barbara, which one do I use now? And she tell me something. I don't know if she knows any better than I do, but I just go on and do it. So, Mephibosheth, he's a guy out there. He ain't been nowhere. He hadn't had nothing. He hadn't been to no dinner. And finally, the king finds him and invites him to the king's palace and sits him at the table and says, you'll eat here for the rest of your life. Not just today. Every time there's breakfast, every time it's lunch, every time it's dinner, when you get ready for a snack, you just go, you're in the king's. I can imagine if it had been me, I would have sat at the table. I would have watched first. Sits at the table. And the point of this story is Mephibosheth was unworthy. Mephibosheth didn't go looking for the king. King came looking for Mephibosheth. And as unworthy as Mephibosheth was, the king said, from this day forth, even though you think you are a low down dog, I see something else in you. You are not a dog in my sight. I'm going to bring you in as one of my sons. You will sit at the table. You don't have to hide your hand ever again. You sit at the table. And as unworthy as we may be, God sent an APB out on you. He didn't send one out to condemn you. He sent one out to save. And thanks be to God that he found you. And how many of you glad that God remembers? How many of you made a pledge with a childhood friend and say, you're going to do so and so when you get to be an adult. And when you become successful, when you become pastor, when you become president, I'm going to remember you. And you get into your kingdom and you look back and you forget all the Mephibosheths of the world. But thanks be to God. God remembers. He remembers where Lodabar is. When you move from the Bronx over to Hackensack, he remembers where Lodabar is. When you move from the projects, he remembers where Lodabar is. And every now and then, somebody ought to look back and see who you can show kindness to. Oh, I know you're successful now. I know you got your PhD, got your bachelor's. But is there anyone that you can look back and show kindness to? Let me ask you a question. Did anybody ever show you any kindness? Did anybody ever look back and say, I know what the world says about him, but I'm going to invite him to the table anyhow. He's not worth murder, but I'm going to invite him to the table. Last week I told you we were in Italy. We were in Florence, Italy last week. We had spent 3 days in Rome, and we took the train down to Florence, stayed at this hotel, and there was this big guy sitting outside of our hotel begging. Big guy, big, you know, made 300 pounds, sitting out there begging every day. I walked past him for 2 days. And the reason I walked past him is because I saw him begging, then I saw him reach into his pocket and get his cell phone. I mean, a beggar's got to be connected. And so Barbara and I decided we were going to go to church. I mean, we've been going to all of these wonderful cathedrals, and we saw all of the art. We went to the Sistine Chapel, and we saw how Michelangelo had painted the ceiling. And, you know, I'm standing there looking up. I can imagine me coming to my house and saying, let's paint Frederick Douglass in the ceiling. Let's paint Martin Luther King. Let's paint Sojourner Truth. We come in here, we just look at our mind. But on Sunday, we decided we're going to go to a Baptist church. We knew Reverend Anna, who's a partner with us in missions in Lot Carey. She pastors in Florence. And as luck would have it, the church was about 3 or 4 blocks from the hotel we were staying. So we walked down to the church. We got there early. Want to make sure it's on time. There's a little coffee shop right in front of the church. And lo and behold, the guy who sat outside the hotel walked down to the church and stood right there. And when they opened doors of the church, they opened the doors of the building, they gave him a seat. He sat right in front of the church. And I felt like, oh my goodness, I got to give him something. I gave him €1. But I thought, that little euro is nothing. What about if you had come into the table? What about if you had left the door and went to the table of Christ? Christ could have changed your life. Jackson gave you a lousy euro. God could have given you a new life. There's hope on the table. There's forgiveness on the table. There's mercy on the table. There's kindness on the table. Move from the door to the altar. He'd been sitting out there and said to me, like, this guy must be familiar. He must come out there and sit every Sunday. And I thought, why don't somebody invite the brother in? Why don't somebody kick the legs out from under the chair and tell him, get your butt inside? I mean, that's just me, y'all. I can remember also, I was thinking about this when I was a youngster, 25, 26, 27 years old. Got married. And we would go to Barbara's parents' house on Thanksgiving. And Barbara has 8 sisters and brothers, 9 of them all together. She's the oldest. I'm 9. She told me early, we're not having a lot of kids. She told me, she said, listen, I already raised 8. We ain't having no big. I said, that's fine with me. But Thanksgiving, my mother-in-law is a great cook, and she loved family on Thanksgiving. It was her big day. Few of the girls got married, and I'm the youngster. I'm the newlywed. And we'd be sitting around, and I'm an only child. And we'd be sitting around the table. And they always made me feel welcome. They always made me feel. And my mother-in-law, she has this preacher thing. She loves preachers. I mean, she was so kind to me that it was embarrassing. I had to do the prayer. I had the best seat at the table, whatever Rev wanted. That's the way God is to you. And to me, that He has a place at the table for you. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and He for Christ's sake, He died. He came into this world, and for Christ's sake, He gave His Son. Thanks be to God. But that's a place at the table. You know how some of us are, we don't like it. There's certain people I don't want at the table. I told you about the art over in Italy. I was looking around, I was walking around like this all the time. I was looking up and I kept looking for myself. I kept looking for one dark person. I kept looking for one kinky hat person. I kept looking for one person with a big nose. I kept looking for for somebody that looked like me. I could not find one. But finally, when we went to that little Baptist church, I didn't see no art. Michelangelo wasn't there. Raphael wasn't there. All I saw was the cross of Christ. All I saw was the old rugged cross. There was no picture of a white person. There was no picture of a black person. There was no picture of anybody. Just the cross of Christ. And once you've been to Lodabar, anybody ever been to Lodabar? I didn't say Lodi. Lodabar, that place way down yonder by yourself. Lodabar, that place where it's barren. Lodabar, that place where you feel bad. That place where you on the run. And God sends somebody to call you out of Lodabar. And he brings you from the barren place and puts you at the table as a son, as a daughter. And says, from now on, you will be treated like royalty. You are mine. You ought to praise. You ought to give him some glory. That he brought you from a mighty long ways. He brought you from the outhouse to the White House. He brought you from where you were to where you are. It's time to praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mephibosheth. Can you imagine how many of you know that transformation usually is a gradual process? Now you can put some nice clothes on a hillbilly. You can send them to get their nails done. You can decide who you want to invite in your house. But the last time I checked, it's the blood of Christ. Last time I checked, you ain't shed no blood in here. Last time I checked, this was the Father's house. And the last time I checked, he sends out the invitations. And last time I checked, that he didn't die just for you, but he died for everybody. The black, the white, the rich, the poor, the special, everybody. It's my table. You are welcome in the Father's house. You are welcome in the Father's house. He says to him, I'm about through. He says, I want to show kindness to you for Jonathan's sake. How many know that a lot of the blessings you got is not because of your sake? The blessings you have is because of your mama. The blessings you have is because of your daddy. I remember when our kids were younger. You know, they get up there and they start talking about, we're taking them to the high school, like, drop me off two blocks. Then after they got older, they wanted to take the car. They're driving around. I think we had an Infiniti at the time. They had no money for an Infiniti. They riding on my dime. And many of the blessings that you and I are fortunate enough to receive, they don't come because of anything you have done. There's nothing so special about you. You ain't that smart anyhow. But because of the sacrifices of your mother and your grandmother and your grandfather and your uncle and your aunt, it's because you and I received the blessing because somebody paid a price for you. And we get up there and we start living in suburbia and get so lazy that we won't do anything. Once God has snatched you out of the gutter and placed your feet on a solid rock and saved you from a sure death and bought you with a price, somebody ought to praise him. When you think about it, when I think about it, what could have been? When I think about how good he has been, it's time to praise him. I don't praise him. I don't run and jump and shout.
every day. I remember Reverend Marks used to say, you don't know what he's done for me. I'm not jumping, but I'm jumping up on the inside. I got a praise on the inside. I got a praise. It's all over me. I don't have to praise him like you do, but I think about it. And John, all he's done for me. My soul cries out. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you know where Lodabar is. Thank you for searching for me. Thank you for pursuing me. Thank you for remembering me. Thank you for making a way for me. Thank you. Thank you. I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. I say hallelujah.